The Columbia Workshop presents number 8 of 26 by Corwin.
Daybreak, a program to be followed on your atlas. A super travelogue written and directed by Norman Corwin, with an original musical score composed and conducted by Lynn Murray and featuring La Coelho and Frank Gallup.
Day grows older only when you stand and watch it coming at you. Otherwise, it is continuous. If you could keep a half degree ahead of sunup on the world's horizons, you'd see new light always breaking on some slope of ocean or some patch of land. A morning can be kept up with by trailing night. This we shall do. Where we begin, we shall return to, circling the earth meanwhile. We are at latitude 40 degrees north and longitude 25 degrees west. We will come back here at the circle's end. But now, beneath us, there is water, nothing else. The long Atlantic flowing to the north, cirrus clouds resembling herringbone. High up, along the curving fringe, 10,000 miles from top to bottom of the globe, are only islands very far apart. Some atolls in the South Atlantic, icebergs off the Sandwich Archipelago. The rim of light is touching now one continent alone of all the mainlands it will overtake today, the eastern shores of Greenland. Southwest of the Cape Verde Islands, there's a thunderstorm, not mud, a little rain, some grumbling from a cumulus. Through it, unruffled, plows of tramp from Cape Town headed for the Caribbean. There is a hint of day to starboard, and the smudge of night to port. Thunder above. The striking of the hour is expected momentarily inside the wheel room. Meanwhile, the course is west, northwest. See for yourself.
Okay, Johnny, I'll take over now.
Hiya.
You look as though you could use some shut-eye.
Well, it hasn't been a bad stretch. Storm's not much.
Give me some tobacco before you go, will you?
Sure, take the rest of this can. I got some more in the locker.
Thanks. What's the course?
11.6 by 31.4. Course west-northwest, 2 degrees, steady as she goes.
Right. Well, I hope the old man's better humor than he was on my last watch. Thought he was going to eat the glass right out of the binnacle lamp.
Yeah, he's been on the prod for the last 3 days. Well, see you later.
Tramp is 100 miles behind us now. As quick as that. The thunder also. Now the sun's antennae reach another 5 degrees yet west of Greenwich. Nothing now but water south of Greenland, clear down past the humid zones of the equator, down the easy ground swells to the barriers of ice in the Antarctic. That dark shape coming toward us is the bulge of South America, the coastline of Brazil. Now you can smell the spices in the offshore breeze. That's Pernambuco over there. And the green light way below us is the airport of Natal. And now in succession come the mountain ranges like slow turning gears. That string of lights is Rio. The coast spreads wider, north and south. And for the first time, you begin to sense this is a continent rotating hugely toward the sun. The endless forests in the Mato Grosso, they're tipped with light. The jungle life's astir. The birds are twitter. To the north, the great mouth of the Amazon yawns wide, the islands in it looming suddenly. Yet, at this very moment, day is touching on the continent of North America, the shores of Newfoundland. Fogs drifting in from the Grand Banks, we cannot see the chimneys of St. John. The whole Atlantic seaboard, Eastport to Key West, is still in darkness. Further down the hemisphere, light picks its way among the Lesser Antilles, spreads out down Venezuela, down the Gran Chaco, the Pampas of the Argentine, and stirs sleepers in their sleep in Buenos Aires. In the Sertão of Bahia, beyond the reach of tourists and authorities, the forbidden dance of the Macumba pauses while a priestess incantates the spirit of the dawn. The rain, the mountains, over the rooftops of Caracas, over the Indies. Dawn is coming now to Hancock County, Maine. There in Penobscot Bay, a lobster fisherman rides home with light of day behind him and a lighthouse just ahead. On his way in, he meets a neighbor pulling up some lobster pots.
How are they running, Manny? Only 8 so far and 2 strings. Crabs, mostly. They eat the dang bait till there ain't nothing left for the lobster.
Same with me. Guess the bottom's drying up, dang it.
My old lady said she'd throw me out of the house if I didn't bring one home to her.
Well, good luck, Manny. Hope you fill her up to the scuppers.
So long, Lem.
Even as we lingered, this young light, which now has trickled down the coast, begins to lift the land fog from Cape Cod. It also, at this very moment, reddens the high peak of Aconcagua in the Andes of the Argentine, the highest peak in all the ranging hemisphere. It washes over narrow Chile, too, and skips across the Triple Mountain Ranges of Peru. The gleam at last from breakers on the long Pacific shore. Cape Horn and Sandy Hook are tinctured now. Magellan's Windy Straits, Columbus's San Salvador, and Hendrick Hudson's River, all are lighted by the same oncoming dawn. The highest mountain and the highest building meet the morning in the same hushed moment. 34th Street in Manhattan is awash with prophecy of day. A little north by east of where the Empire State is, underground at Madison and 53rd, a stranger in Manhattan tries to find his way.
Change, please. Can you all tell me what train I'd take for the George Washington Bridge?
Down to the first level, take any train. If it's an F train, get off the next stop, 50th and 6th Avenue.
Look, mister, I want to go uptown.
Yeah, Mac, but these trains all happen to go downtown, so you have to change. So get off at 50th and 6th Avenue, then cross over to the uptown side. Then take a train marked D and get off at Columbus Circle. That's 59th Street. Then wait for an A train on the same track, and that'll take you right to the bridge at 179th Street.
Change at 50th and 6th Avenue, then take a train marked D to Columbus Circle. And then
the A train to 179th Street.
Oh, yes. A to 179th Street. Thank you, mister.
Now, wait a minute. That's only for one of the trains. If the first one through here is an E train, take her down to 8th Avenue and 42nd Street.
You mean I have to go downtown before I can go uptown?
Well, you have to get hungry before you can eat, don't you? Oh, so all right, then. Go down to 42nd Street, cross over, and catch the A train, same as before. Only difference is here you have to go down further to do it, okay?
Morning is beyond the bridges of the Hudson now, and slanting through the passes of the Appalachians. The seaboard's brightening. A wind is playing with the tide off Hatteras. Miami looks alert. Street lamps are turned off in Ottawa. There's drizzle over part of Lake Ontario. Day rises now on two canals, the Erie in New York State and the Panama. It's the same slip of morning to both ditches, though they lie 2,000 miles apart. Three of the five great lakes have caught the fire, but just as dawn arrives in Dayton, it departs beyond the western shores of South America into the waiting Pacific. In northern Indiana, flames are spitting from the forges of the mills at Gary. Under the stacks and sooted roofs, the night shift labors on the final stretch. It's snowing now on Mystic Boothia, the northernmost peninsula of North America. But morning overrides the storm. Here's the magnetic pole which keeps all of the world's compasses aquiver. While Boothia is freezing, there's a light dew brewing west of Omaha. Warm winds at Dallas, and gray-green reflections in the water at the docks of Veracruz. Long brooding Popocatapetl rears his head above a zone of nimbus clouds and looks around to see if all is punctual. Now, one vast sweep of plain, a sea of flatlands tilted upward toward the still dark Rockies, quietly and calmly takes on day. Hundreds of rectangle counties, county after county, come into the fold of morning. In the town of Guthrie, Logan County, Oklahoma, on the porch of a house near the cottonwood, a boy observes the heavens getting pale.
Betty, you asleep?
No. I'm awake.
You know something, Betty? I never been up all night in my life before.
Me neither.
When a fella likes a girl, he likes to sit up with her.
Well, if a girl likes a fella, it's about the same thing, ain't it? I mean, in the same way, sort of.
Yeah. Gosh, it's one and the same thing, no matter how you look at it, I guess.
I agree with you.
Ain't the sky pretty, though?
It's breathtakingly beautiful.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could do this every night?
It would be divine.
You really mean that, Betty?
Absolutely.
Gosh. Thanks. I didn't expect you to say it'd be divine. That's saying a lot.
Well, I don't take back a word of it.
Gee, Betty. Thanks a lot.
While love awakens on a porch in Guthrie, the somber Rocky Mountains watch the stars burn out above the great plateaus. Rangers rise to block the passage of the day, but not for long. Dawn vaults them all, these mountains with the Spanish names, spreads out on the square states, rolls over into Arizona. And now, we're over the Grand Canyon, riotous with reds and purples. Chilling with its silence and its majesty, a group of tourists watching sunup from the southern rim.
It certainly is all it's cracked up to be, isn't it, Mrs. Steuben?
Oh, it's gorgeous. I've seen it once before, but it seems to be more gorgeous every time I see it. Look at that.
Nothing like this in Brooklyn, eh, Eddie?
You got something there, Perry. You know, if somebody painted this, you wouldn't believe it.
That's absolutely right.
I don't know about you, but I wouldn't like to fall down off one of them cliffs.
Me neither. Gee, ain't the silence wonderful?
Did you know that this place can be deafening with noise sometimes?
Is that right?
It can?
Sure. When it makes a noise like a canyon.
Death Valley comes to life. Mount Whitney yawns and stretches. Ancient redwood trees look up with boredom at another day. An owl screams in the woodlands of Yosemite. The sea fog sitting on Los Angeles, but Palos Verdes and the top of Catalina float above the mists. Rain in Seattle, heavy in Snohomish County. Routine fog in San Francisco lifting. In a cafe on the Embarcadero, the dregs of night still linger.
I'm sorry, Mr. Stewart, but you will have to go home or we close up for now.
Go on away, old man. I'm the greatest composer since the days of Yasha Masha Pasha.
Look, look, I gotta close up. The cops are taking my license if I don't.
Cops.
Oh, now be good guys. Go on, please. Be good guys. Look, is it getting light already, see?
Just one more, please. Staccato and Fugit by Johann Sebastian Strauss. One more.
Is it what you said before?
Well, this time I'm a man of my word, Nicky, old boy. I'm the man behind the man behind the man of my word, see? Just one more. Johann Sebastian.
All right. Just this one.
Just this one. Just this. Now, take it easy, Nick, old boy. You sit and listen to Johann Sebastian Strauss.
The snowfields of the Yukon and the Klondike Mountains lie face up, interpreting the soundless and mysterious code of the Aurora Borealis. The streamers, green and orange, shimmering in the black Arctic night, yield occultly to new life from behind the frozen ranges to the east. The dawn is peaked and pinched here in Alaska. It is fuller on the endless swells of the Pacific to the south. The Pacific flowing now in space so prodigal that only stellar seas could understand. The hemisphere is falling back. McKinley passes in the great processional. Alaska's valley of 10,000 smokes turns steaming to the sun from which its planetary fire was drawn down. The roar of Katmai, angriest volcano of them all, abates none, scorning the eruption of such placid stuffs as mornings. South as the crow flies, flying just about 2,000 miles, is another such volcano set about by sea, Mauna Loa, monarch of the glistening Hawaiian Islands. Stands frowning down on fields of its own lava. These islands are romantic at night to all romanticists. But now, at dawn in Honolulu, where the trade wind stirs the cocoa palms, a practical procedure is taking place inside a hospital. Beneath the white glare of the operating lamps, a surgeon meets with an emergency.
Doctor, the pressure is falling rapidly and the pulse is becoming thready.
Get that transfusion set ready. Dr. Jones, you scrub the transfusion.
Right, sir.
Is the donor outside? Has he been cross-matched?
Yes, sir.
All right. Start the transfusion. Give him a hype of adrenaline. Get the large kidney clamps and the heavy ligature ready. Suction. Sponge.
The pulse is becoming imperceptible. Heart sounds very feeble.
Inject some coramine into the veins.
Yes, sir. Doctor, the heart sounds are not audible.
Massage the heart. Sponge.
Pupils are widely dilated, Doctor.
There's no response from the heart at all.
Doctor, the patient has ceased breathing.
Well, we did all we could.
Northward, at the moment of this dawn death, the night's pushed back entire from the face of North America. It's west of Bering Strait now, in Soviet Siberia, pursued across the stepping stones of the Aleutian Islands. Daybreak has reached the 180th meridian, where man, in spite of all his quarreling, agrees by international accord that here, his calendar divides today from yesterday. A liner headed for San Pedro crosses this imaginary line. On B deck, a woman is awake to greet the moment.
You mean we are crossing at this very moment, officer?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, it's so thrilling. Just think, a minute ago it was Sunday, now it's Saturday.
Yes, ma'am. The international dateline.
Does that mean we're a day ahead of the rest of the world?
Oh, no. Where did you get that idea?
Well, that's true, isn't it?
No, it merely means
well,
that
well, 5 hours ago it was midnight Saturday, and so it became Sunday, and now it's Saturday again. Is that fair?
Well, you see, madam, it works like this.
I don't understand it very well.
Well, I think I can explain it. Now, a 10-day voyage from San Francisco to Yokohama will show 11 calendar days. But on the return trip, when we cross the international dateline eastbound like we just did, we go back one day on the calendar into the old day. So that means a 10-day trip eastbound will show 9 calendar days, whereas the westbound voyage shows 11 calendar days.
But doesn't the 10-day trip ever take just 10 days?
No, ma'am. Now, let me begin again. I think I can explain it to you all right. You see, ordinarily, the day changes with the passing of midnight. But there are always 2 calendar days on the Earth's surface at all times, and that means...
New Zealand now, at the Antipodes, diagonally across the world from Greenwich. The east coast of Australia catches day, as did the east coast of Brazil 12 hours back. The sun now gilds the gold fields. The sands of the interior are tinted too. The Great Victoria Desert curving into the dry day. Now, the coast of China. Night trails its kites across the Philippines, the Dutch East Indies, Borneo. Deeper into China, up the Yangtze, past Hong Kong, it spreads. Wait. Those flicks of flame you see far, far below are not the Chinese glowworms. Those are men at war. The first such spectacle since morning joined us at the 25th meridian. Quiet on the Gobi Desert to the north. Southward, the night is gone from Java and Australia, too. The guns of Singapore are vigilant and scrutinize the straits. Mandalay lies under heavy rain clouds, otherwise you'd make it out. Now Everest sees the coming day before all Asia to the west. In fact, it's a tight squeeze for the morning, getting by the peak which roofs the planets. 500 million people sleep in India, Afghanistan, Union of the Soviets. Dawn comes to each of them, to each one's window, arches over each one's head. It's in the tundra in the north of Russia, also in the streets of Takhta Bazar and the market of Termez. At Kreutz, the workers soundly sleep. Now, in a sweeping arc, the dawn cuts through three continents. Still Asia in the Urals, Europe where the Russians draw a line, and Africa at easternmost Somaliland. The same light spans the Caspian, the Persian Gulf, the wildest desert of Arabia. Below us in the Syrian morn, there's movement, men and guns afoot. There's stealthy shipping in the foggy Bosphorus. The power plant of Dniprostroy is working through the dawn. The rim moves on to Finland now. At the same time, it founds the Pyramid of Cheops. In the scarlet break of day, the tombs of the Egyptian kings are tipped with red lights, warning airplanes. Warring Europe starts up from a fitful sleep. The Congo, in the heart of Africa, awakens tranquilly. The morning, being a celestial thing, cannot begin to comprehend. This is the bleak meridian of trouble. Norway, Poland, Russia, Germany, the Balkans, Libya. Great camps and barracks in each land anticipate the day. But to the fields and lakes and rivers and the partly stormy sky, it's all the same. It always is the same. Slip down the middle length of Africa. Far at the southern tip, two albatrosses circle lazily above the sparkling waters off Good Hope. Cape Town looks at night across the South Atlantic. Night, the very night now solid in Brazil. Two farmers meet in Switzerland, where their adjoining pastures slope down toward the valley. They say the same thing they've been saying now for 27 years of mountain morning.
Morning, Peter.
Morning, Hans.
Nice day.
Yes, very nice.
All well.
Oh, can't complain. And you?
Fine, fine.
Good. See you later.
See you later, Peter.
The North Sea and the Mediterranean are both lit now, and London comes up out of cover. Greenwich gives the day a careless nod and signals it the go-ahead to climb the West Meridians. In vasty hushes, the fresh morning cleans the smudges of the dark out of the mid-Sahara. Off the Gold Coast of deep-rooting Africa, in the wide Guinea Gulf, there's a fight between two sharks, just at the mighty intersection where longitude and latitude each reach zero. Here, the equator meets the mean meridian. The Green Atlantic doesn't know it, though. The fighting sharks don't care. The Irish Sea, Gibraltar, and St. Helena swim up out of the Afro-European night. Lisbon and Morocco and Liberia come next. Dakar and the Canaries. And now, all of both continents are in full day. It's all in the Atlantic now, this far-flung fringe of daybreak. We're moving west of Greenwich once again. Now, we are back at latitude 40 degrees north and longitude 25 degrees west. And this is where we started from. Beneath us, there is water, nothing else. The long Atlantic flowing to the north.
You have been listening to Daybreak. A travelogue written and directed by Norman Corwin is number 8 in the Columbia Workshop cycle 26 by Corwin. The original musical score was composed and conducted by Lynn Murray. The guiding narration was done by Frank Gallup. Laquelio sang the Xangô in the Brazilian sequence. Others in the cast were Joan Banks, Clifford Carpenter, Frank Lovejoy, Gilbert Mack, Ed Mayhoff, Don Morrison, Hester Sundergaard, Paul Stewart, Rosalind Green, and Martin Wolfson. 26 by Corwin will return at this same time next week with another original program. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.